Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We are Monday night, June the 7th, 2010. Welcome to, ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. Tonight, listen to, the overview of this week. If you're going to take time to go to ShatterTheDarkness.net, you're going to see that the topic for the week, listen now, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, Events That Will Help End the World. Now listen, this is massive revelation, specific revelation, prophetic revelation, God-given insight into the details of how the end will occur. And listen, in this revelation of God in pictorial and dramatic fashion, we have the events revealed by God that will bring the devastations to the world that most feel is in the air, but do not realize the extent. We're not talking about localized. We're not talking about just a few nations. We're now dealing with global events. We are now talking about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, events that help end the world. Monday night, we're going to deal with the White Horse. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., the Red Fiery Horse. Wednesday night, 6 p.m., the Black Horse, and Friday night, 6 p.m., the Pale Horse. It is extremely important, if you're going to look at the Four Horsemen, Revelation chapter 6, this goes massively beyond anything in history, beyond Nostradamus, beyond Edgar Cayce, beyond the psychics, beyond the technology of Webbot, beyond the insight and predictions of the new developments of remote viewers. If you're going to read Revelation chapter 6 and look at the four horsemen, if you're going to see that God in sovereign authority and in control opens up future history, giving the details, giving the heads up, telling us what will come. Now, if you read Revelation chapter 4, John on the Isle of Patmos is taken up. Chapter 4 deals with the beginning of Revelation, the revelation of the future. Chapters 4 and 5 deal with the centrality, the authority, the sovereignty of all of future history, that only the Lamb of God is able to open the scroll, break the seals, and unveil actual, infallible, irrevocable human history. No one else. So we're going to take a look at the one who can open the seals. We're going to contrast that with many other things that are going on. We're going to encourage you that tonight, whether listening live right now or listening in the archives later on, we are dealing with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Literally, the events, global events, that will thrust the world into the most perilous, chaotic, violent times of human history. These are the events that will end the world. Let me take a few moments before we go into the Four Horsemen, the White Horse tonight, and just give a little bit of update. Let me welcome everybody listening tonight, believers in Christ. Great to be with you. We have 1 hour in a, providential moment in time to share what God is doing. And listen, it is an amazing time to live on the face of the earth. We are in the, birth pangs of seeing world events, yet we're on the edge of it all breaking out. This is Monday, the 7th of June, 2010. This show is going to be the introduction and the first insight concerning these four vital, very important, sessions. And I would encourage you to download them, have them, make CDs, give them out, send links. Welcome to all those who usually listen. Thank you for writing in, emailing in, and letting us know you're listening this last week. I shared on Friday some very big news. We've been on this live project for about a year. We do not know that it was Steve Quayle that opened the door for us to have this program. 3 days a week, 6 to 7, called Shadow the Darkness, the name of our ministry. There is also the Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Survive and Thrive, where I'm the guest host. And most do not realize that Steve Quayle himself funded all the project, but those funds have ended now, and June is the last month that the door has been opened. We would like to continue in July and for the next year. And so for the first time ever, we're going to ask you that if you're interested in investing into this program, and if you want this program live, if you believe that this program is a vital program and all that we do, take a look at shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look at the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of MP3s, the training, the teaching, the interaction. We have seen about 1,400,000 downloads of the MP3s of all of what we do in up to 60, maybe even 70 now, countries of the world. People have gotten saved. Thousands upon thousands have been engaged. And even the dark side has reconned and interacted with us and even made their threats. The only way a servant of God that I would do this program live is if it's completely and fully funded in advance. And I trust that if God's going to open that door, that there will be those who are willing to invest and help fund the project. I will not go month to month. I will not get behind on payments. I will not do it that way. It will only occur as God opens the door, and we will simply put 2 30-second mentions of this throughout the rest of the month, that if this program is to be continued July 1st on, and if we're going to be on this live network along with the archives, then we're going to trust that that God will move on hearts and lives and that great investment will occur. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit to the left. You'll see a tab that talks about support. If you're interested, we do not run commercials. We do not sell products to fund any of the things that we've done. We have never asked funds for the counseling, the exorcisms, deliverances, and those kind of projects. So this is a first for us. And if this program is going to be, again, opened by the hand of God, I literally trust either a wide open door or it is time to have this door shut and the rest of our work continue the way it has been. So pray for us. Pray for the door. Pray for exceptional, advanced, great investment in funding. And we will look forward to continuing with you throughout the rest of the year into 2011. We'd love to be involved all the way through 2012 so that we can engage the entire concept coming up that will probably be one of the biggest years of, well, speculation, conspiracy, and the world's eyes and feelings will be on that date. So anyway, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, if you're brand new to the show. We will only have 2 30-second commercials that will deal with funding the project, funding the work of Shatter the Darkness, and we're looking for... we're going to look for about 100 helpers. We have hundreds of thousands that have listened. We have, again, well over 1,400,000 downloads of the MP3s, the teaching, the courses, materials across the board. So pray about it. Take a look at shatterthedarkness.net. Go down and you can read. Click on the support. There's a page that will tell you all about us, what we're all about, and how we do things. And if you're interested, continue to help out with us. And we are grateful. Listen, tonight's show is about the white horse. It is about one of the revelations that God has given in very dramatic, and I'm going to say this, prophetic drama In the Old Testament, with Ezekiel primarily, there is this revelation of God through prophetic drama, the acting out, and many times in the pictorial sense. Some say that these horses are connected to what we read about in Zechariah chapter 6, though there is a difference from whence the horses come. It's not about horses. It is about the rider and the rider, what the rider represents. In every case, the white, the red, the black, the pale horses, the riders represent massive events that will occur that, well, may have begun, and we'll mention that tonight. Listen, welcome again. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And the email address is ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. And I've noticed that the station has some new things that it's doing, and it seems that we are now on Skype. We hope that even the quality of sound is going to be clear and strong. If you ever miss any of the shows during the week, you can come to ShatterTheDarkness.net and click on the archives there, or go to Steve Quell's site, click on the archives, and you can get the shows. We are grateful again for all who are listening. We know that there are those who recon the show, those that know what we are all about, and they want to see everything we've got to say. So again, a heads up to psychics, remote viewers, real Luciferians, undergrounders, what are called chosen ones, because the four horsemen represent divine, infallible, irrevocable, specific revelation, insight, heads up that God has given that's going to impact the entire globe and bring out the end of human history as we know it. Let me give you one news article that, listen, a number of people have sent me, and I also heard it this afternoon on the radio. Here's the title of the article: Bodies Found in Cave Near Mexican Resort of Cancun with Hearts Removed. Let me say it again. Bodies found in cave near Mexican Resort of Cancun with hearts removed. Appreciate Tim sending me this article and others who have also sent the article. And let me tell you right now that this is going to be a big issue, but I'm going to humanly predict that law enforcement will not come out with the details of the issue of the six bodies, the hearts that had been removed. Now, I'm going to read you the article. Cancun, Mexico. This is Associated Press. Police discovered six dead bodies in a cavern Sunday near the tourist resort of Cancun. Three of them cut open and their hearts removed. Authorities are investigating the identities of the four men and two women found dead in the natural cave, said Francisco Elor. Now listen, it goes on to say this: they were apparently tortured and their chests were opened to remove the hearts. Three of the bodies had the letter Z carved on their abdomens, a possible reference to Zeta drug gang, the Zeta drug gang. Though officials did not make an explicit connection to the cartel violence that has plagued many parts of Mexico. Listen now, I'm quoting, more than 22,700 people have died nationwide in drug violence since late 2006. When President Calderon sent soldiers and federal police to battle the cartels. End of quote. One of the issues concerning the cartels, and what most do not know, and Tony Cal has brought out, and a tremendous guide that he has written called A Cop's Guide to Investigating Occult and Cult, well, Satanic Crimes. The concept of hearts being cut out, well, that can be an issue of fear. That can be a thing where some of the cartels have hung bodies, left bodies, cut off heads, things like that. But in this issue of taking the time and breaking into the chest and cutting out the hearts, please understand that many of the South America and Mexican, Guatemalan, all of these drug cartels, many of them are using the satanic Haitian-oriented Palomaombi, Abakwa, kind of a version, a type of voodoo, in the seeking of the gods and goddesses to protect their drug trade, to literally bless their drug trade. Rituals are done to blind police officers. Rituals are done to send powers against their rivals. And it may be that the hearts were cut out and used in ritual format. Now, I don't know what will come out concerning this, but anybody studying the drug trade, the cartels, the drug runners, there are babalaos, there are poleros, there are satanic priestesses, just like in Madame Morse, where massive satanic-oriented rituals that involve the torture of human beings, not just the removal of hearts, but sometimes the bodies are taken, spines are removed, all kinds of things you can read about. This is part of the drug trade. Billions of dollars and dark spirits, Santa Muerte, all throughout Mexico. It's kind of the spirit of death, the appeasing of the spirit of death. So you can take a look at that and do a little study. And just as I saw Sunday morning, one of the great missionaries from Mexico was there in the church on Sunday morning. He represented the evangelical, it's a, like a seminary mission down there that his father started in 1954. His father is 78 years old and only complains that he can't get out every Sunday afternoon to share gospel tracts. The report and the video that I saw yesterday morning were that great evangelism is being done. Many thousands of those in Mexico are coming to personal faith in Christ. They're trying to do a tremendous in-depth studies and training of the nationals there. But there is more and more this, again, dark side. Obviously, the satanic side loves to have the drugs into the world because drugs become an open door to the satanic deception. And opens doors to spirits, literally, and they would be seeking the demons, and the demons seem to be giving them powers, some say powers of hiddenness, invisibility. I mean, that's what the rituals are all about. So in taking a look at this that has come out, I mean, we heard yesterday on Sunday the six bodies were found. Now we're hearing about how they were tortured, cut up, and three of them, their hearts were removed. So we should be praying for law enforcement. We should be, and those listening all across the borders, Arizona and California, Texas, all down through there, you've got to understand the massive numbers of drug cartel individuals and drug runners. They are using priestesses and priests and seeking powers to enable them and to give them success in the drug trade. You've got to understand that the ramping up there is similar to worldwide. And go to shatterthedarkness.net. Look at the new free series called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. And you'll find out more there. But I want to tell you tonight, more than anything else, as we engage the study on Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, events that help end the world, literally help end the world. Now, I've got somebody that has written in, Pat has written in, and let me just say, I'm going to just share the question. The question is simply concerning the WebBot project. Anybody can look that up, and it's pretty getting to be pretty well known on the web. Two individuals that begun this years and years ago primarily were seeking to do financial analysis. It was kind of a money making futurologist, giving insight into and data on the issues of funds and so forth. So, yes, I would agree with the individual you're talking about. It literally is a technology. It is a science. It is using the web spiders to go out and collect information worldwide, to read websites and blogs and read what the world is talking about, and then collect what is called the emotional language, and then begin to bring predictions. It's kind of similar to what futurologists have been doing, and those that study trends, those that look at financial, business, oil, nations, political trends, and they give a forecast based on the trends. Well, ultimately, this is a technology. It is a science. One wonders whether they will eventually connect it to the concept of collective unconsciousness and so forth. But the web bot is not the same as the Akashic records, the collective unconscious. Those two sources are the same. Collective unconscious, the field, the grid, the Akashic records, the Word of God calls that area the domain, the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around us, that domain, where massive spiritual force that, again, opposes God, is operative in the world, and, will be a part of the development of the four events we're going to talk about this week. So, remote viewers and Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce and psychics today and New Agers today, they're definitely guided by the spirits, spiritual presence, spiritual energy, spiritual revelations, spiritual events that are coming from the source of the Akashic records and collective unconscious. Now, WebBot is considered a technology, but we want to keep our eyes on it because we want to see whether or not they will begin to connect technology, as predicted by Alice Bailey, the occultists, and others, connecting technology with spirituality. So we want to take a look at WebBot in the future. But bottom line, it is a science, it is a technology. Is it accurate? Is it of God? Well, no. It is a forecasting technology. But is it the Spirit of God? Is it God? Is it? No, it's not God. It's not, you know, and it doesn't come anywhere near the infallible accuracy of biblical prophetic revelation, which, let me say this, if you're a New Ager, if you're a remote viewer, if you are someone looking at WebBot, let me draw your interest back to infinite, infallible, prophetic revelation that predicts accurately, infallibly, and becomes the final word on all future events. Anyone looking at Mark's Gospel chapter 13 or Matthew 24, when Jesus 2,000 years ago continued to give the prophetic revelation of the end of days, pretty much the sequence that Jesus gives in Matthew 24 is very similar to the events of the four horsemen in Revelation 6. So I think it's going to be absolutely vital for us to understand that in the world that we're living right now, billions of people feel it in the air. Billions of people are looking to the web, to information, to 2012 prophecies, to ancient occult prophecies, to spirit guides that are guiding New Agers in automatic writing, doctrines of demonoia, as the scripture says. And the newest on the block would be remote viewers who openly look at SciTech and their website, even though they say it is a human, naturally human occurring event. That is not accurate. That it is very clear as you begin to go through the website, and I've tried to read every single remote viewer book, and engaged remote viewers, second-generation remote viewers. Let me tell you something, that they are new on the block in the area of predictions. They, with the human capacities that we have, God has given us, We can either be opened up to God, to the Spirit of God, to be given the insight from God in Christ. Or the capacities can be opened up to that spiritual presence, energy, force that we read about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Akashic Records is that exact same realm. You read about it, Ephesians 1, or chapter 2, verse 1 and on. The prince of the power of the Eros, the dense atmosphere around the earth. There is a spiritual domain, is the Greek word. And it is it is literally operated by the spirit who is now at work in those, well, literally those who don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have Christ. So we will see more predictions, more counterfeit spirituality than ever before in all of human history. That was predicted by Christ himself 2,000 years ago. And what Jesus brings up first concerning the end of days matches clearly the rider on the white horse. And we will get into that tonight. So I just wanted to respond to Pat's email and say that WebBot itself is actually a science, a technology originally used concerning finances and so forth, and obviously is making money. But it is not something founded by the Spirit of God. It is not equivalent to biblical prophecy, nor will it be accurate like the infallible accuracy of the uncreated, infinite Spirit of God. That's why I'm calling your attention. Out of all kinds of prophecies and oracles and predictions, and if you remember Acts chapter 16, a young girl, she had in the Greek of the original Greek of the New Testament, in that chapter, the spirit inside of her is called Python, considered very powerful. By that spirit, she was able to predict future events. New Agers, psychics, remote viewers, Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, all of which did predict even the predictions of 2012ers or of the ancient Mayans. They are clear predictions, but it's very clear they have never been 100% accurate. And that is a test. Deuteronomy 13 will give you a grid. Anything predictive, anything supernatural, any kind of sign, wonder, any kind of event, if it leads you away from Christ, the Word of God, God, then it clearly did not come from God. It is false in its origin. So I challenge those who may be remote viewers. I challenge those who may be looking at Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Helena Blavatsky, and even the Mayan prophecies, and, well, all kinds of older, ancient prophecies, let alone the new stuff from remote viewers, and they all have a clear, clear spiritual source, whether direct entities speaking, like in the case of Alice Bailey and others, whether voices just simply in the head, whether a presence that guides the person to write, like the psychologist who wrote The Course of Miracles, or whether it's just the energy that emanates from these dark entities that bring influence to the mind, that drop in information, that cause ideas, predictions, insights to kind of pop into the mind, pop into the human spirit, but not coming from God, the Holy Spirit. It can be tested. Even though it seems to be partially accurate, highly attractive to some, ultimately false prophecy, like false doctrine, like false prophets and teachers and others, the MO issue is this, that in the end, it is extremely lethal to you spiritually. It can deceive people and steal their possibilities of coming to God, coming to Christ, Darkseid will always bring, and the ramping up is unprecedented now and will be, well, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything at all yet. Listen, tonight, if you're brand new, and I want to welcome you to this show Monday night, the 7th of June, 2010. This is Russ Dizdar. You can find out about us in the tons of information that we have for you, shatterthedarkness.net. I'm going to ask you tonight that if you are interested in the conspiracies, the events of the end of days, if you're kind of swimming through all the stuff, wherever you are, whether live or by the archives later, I want you to hear what I have to say tonight. That what you're about to hear about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation chapter 6, they are literally, now listen, quote, events that will help end the world. One of those may have already been unleashed. Three clearly have not yet been unleashed. We're talking about the white horse tonight. And just before we go into it, let me mention to you the background of the study. You should look to Mark's Gospel 13 or Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. Specifically in Matthew 24, there seems to be a deep correspondence to this portion here of the scripture. In Revelation chapter 4, it opens up with John, who had been with the living Christ, seen him physically, watched his life, saw him as both man and God, obviously wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, now maybe close to 90 years old. On the Isle of Patmos, he has been sent there, exiled by the Roman government, and there, as you read the beginning, chapter 1, that brings this incredible, well, Apocalypse Jesu Christu, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 tells you that there are three blessings: those who hear, those who read, those who take to heart the words of this prophecy. The entire book of Revelation is considered a prophecy about future events. Let me say boldly, it totally blows out of the water Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, psychics today like Sylvia Brown and many others, all remote viewers, all the ancient prophecies of the Mayans, and very clearly even the technology of Webbot. This is beyond any of those things that I've mentioned. It is of direct divine origin. It is, like past prophecy, infallible, the very words of God, God giving the insight, and it's final, irrevocable. No one's going to change. Let me tell you something about New Testament prophecy. One-third of the New Testament is biblical prophecy. And out of that, three things are shown in futuristic biblical prophecy. Number one, what God is going to do. Number two, what Satan in his sequence of evolution is going to do. And number three, what mankind in the mix of that will be doing also. So God is going to be showing what he is going to do. God is going to give the accurate, infallible insight, the heads up of what Satan himself, whether masqueraded or in direct events, will be doing. And we're talking about events unprecedented in world history. We're talking now about events that have never occurred in all of human history, all of human history. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Dear listener tonight, may the sovereign Spirit of God speak to your heart. May the sovereign Spirit of God prepare those who are believers in Christ to give the kind of insight that God wants to in this specific prophetic drama that brings about the communication about the events that will help end the world. So study Revelation chapter 4 to see the introduction. Look at Revelation chapter 5 because they're connected. I'm going to read the beginning of Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" Now, dear friend, listen to this. This is written about 2,000 years ago. John saw it revealed by God in dramatic, prophetic revelation. As he saw, as you see in verse 1, "Then I saw." He is seeing in pictorial form the communication God is giving about the end of days. When you read verse 3, every remote viewer should listen. Every psychic, everyone that has looked at conspiracy, every New Ager by the millions, all those who are involved in predicting the future in any format, those looking for ancient prophecies of the Mayans and others, and I would even say those that are looking closely at the technology of the WebBot project, I want you to hear the words of God. They include you, I believe. Verse 3, "But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it." Don't miss this. Inside this scroll is the infallible, accurate insight, revelation, specifics of global future history that will infect the world and eventually bring a close to the human race. They go beyond, let me emphasize, they go so far beyond psychics, remote viewers, Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, books that have been written by those guided by spirit guides, anything that has come from the Akashic records, or what some call the collective unconscious. Let me tell you clearly, the dark side is bringing alternative predictions, bits and pieces, with 10-15% accuracies. We are talking about explicit, 100% infallible, accurate, irrevocable, and final predictive prophecy. It is revealed in a pictorial and dramatic fashion to communicate the impact, the intensity of the end of the human race. So, dear friends, dear listeners, regardless of your background, the living words of God. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. That scroll, like in ancient times, scrolls, especially that had seals, that spoke about the, the authentic nature, the vital important, the authoritative nature, and would only be allowed to be opened by specified individuals. You can't remote view into the scroll. You can't get a spirit guide to take you in. The Akashic records can't touch this scroll. The Mayans wouldn't have known how to scratch the surface. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. No one. No one. Verse 4. John, the aged apostle, receiving the revelation of God, shares in the immediate dramatic revelation that he's getting. "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." This is going to speak once again to the absolute monogenesis, John's Gospel 3:16. The absolutely only one of a kind, no one like him, God in human flesh, Christ. New Agers are wrong. Ancient occultists are wrong. Mayan prophecies are wrong. Remote viewing Christ and the Christ event and all that they're bringing out, their revelations from the Akashic Records, wrong, wrong, wrong. The de-deified fake Christ, the dark spirits masquerading, well, as New Age translucent spirits. All wrong, deceptive, and lethal in opposition to God, to Christ, and to what I'm about to say. No one was worthy. No demon from hell, nor the collective sum total of the demonic, not the fallen cherub himself. Nothing can penetrate the scroll. Nothing had the right to crack the seals and look at the contents. Verse 5, Revelation 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Old Testament, the Root of David, Old Testament, has triumphed. Emmanuel, Jesu Christu, Yahweh Adonai. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." The emphasis will be the Lamb of God. Verse 6, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne." Every believer now can feel the Spirit of Christ bear the witness. You know who the Lamb of God is. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Romans 8. If you're listening now and looking into what is being said, without the Spirit of God in your life, you do not know this Lamb of God. John the Baptist said it 2,000 years ago, when God in human flesh, Christ, walked in physical appearance, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. John's writing many, many years, many decades after Christ came, after Christ was crucified, after he was buried, after he rose, after he ascended to the right hand of majesty where he came from. John now, in the most incredible, flawless, and accurate God-given vision. "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits or sevenfold spirit of God sent out into all the earth." The very Spirit of God that would be operative in your life as a believer in Christ, the very Spirit of God that would be convincing, convicting, and drawing anyone listening to this who does not yet know Christ. This Lamb of God, this same Lamb of God, is the one who stood in for you, a substitute, giving his life for your life to redeem you, to give you the presence of God and the eternal gift of indestructible immortality, Christ. In verse 7, "He," Christ, the Lamb of God, "took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." Notice what happens when Christ, the once incarnated, once crucified, once dead, once resurrected, and eternal Christ now takes the scroll. Because no one could touch it. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven. Listen now, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The centrality of Christ, the sovereignty of Christ, the authority of Christ. This is the Savior. This is the center of biblical prophecy. You can read about it in Revelation 19. You can read about how the spirit of prophecy. Listen, that the testimony of Jesus is the very core of what prophecy is all about. All of Scripture speaks of him. The bulk of all prophecy speaks primarily of him and of the events that end the world and that reveals his return. Dear listener, the four horsemen of the first seal involve the events that will infect and are infecting right now and will infect and engage the world and will eventually bring the close or involve the close, the ending of the human race. Revelation 6, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. There was, and the Greek language is very clear, a massive voice like thunder, where there was, "Come forth, behold," the idea of a call. Now, I want you to hear something very clearly. Only Christ could take the scroll. Only Christ can reveal future history. Only Christ has the right. Those who want to rely upon the dark spirits, masquerading spirits, finite spirits in the New Age, among psychics, among the Akashic records, among the ancient prophecies of the Mayans and others, and even the remote viewers. And even those who would move to technology and science. And again, it can give calculations of events. But nothing touches, comes close to what we are engaged with right now. It is very possible that the white horse, now listen to me carefully, has been unleashed. It is very clear the red horse, the black horse, and the white horse, and those events have not. I know there are different interpretations. Let me tell you clearly what the white horse does not and the rider does not represent. There's the color of the horse, then in each case there's a rider. And the rider in each case represents something that involves event that literally demonstrates global impact, worldwide impact. So I want you to hear me clearly. Number one, I do not believe this is Jesus Christ in the first coming or a reference to the second. The crown on the head of the rider of the white horse is a Stephanos. It is not a diadema. In Revelation chapter 19, a door in the heaven is opened, and there is a white horse, and the rider, Word of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Christ, in the visible second coming, and the crown that he had is diadema. So the revelation of the white horse, of the visible return, of the accurate, detailed revelation that this is Jesus Christ in the second coming is quite different than what we see here in its connection to the scroll and the other three horses. The four horsemen and the riders represent the events that will go global, the events that will impact the last 7 years of human history, the events that will bring about the end of world history. They are sequential. The white horse will come first. The red will follow, inseparably connected, though. The black horse will follow, inseparably connected, and the pale horse, inseparably connected. I believe without question that God is revealing accurately, clearly, the unleashing of the radical evil, beginning with the pinnacle of deception, seduction, the conquest of that deception, the conquest of that deception as never before in history. I believe the white horse represents the Antichrist, but not just him only. His birth, the spirit of Antichrist, the entire development. Most have looked for just the man, the Antichrist, the Antichrist, the Antichrist. There is no Antichrist without the birth. There is no birth without the regime of those who've been serving the dark side. There is no Antichrist without the spirit of Antichrist that has helped bring that satanic evolution of deception. We read in 2 Thessalonians very clearly that the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, it will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit, but supernaturally given signs, wonders, miracles. Please understand, the white horse and the rider represent a spiritual conquest, an Antichrist system, Antichrist spirit. This is the shadow government that you see and feel, the shadow military that you see and feel. This is the spirit of globalism. This is the spiritual presence and force that is seeking a conquest to go worldwide. And it does include the Antichrist. And it does include the concept of his eventual apocalypse to the world. So when I share with you tonight that the white horse and the rider specifically, listen now, he holds a bow. Going back, just looking at, again, the history, going back to the historical grammatical look, Parthians, the Romans kind of feared the Parthians, who were feared archers that would ride horses, and that was a dreaded and fearful enemy even the Romans and the Persians before that. The rider represents an individual, but also all that's connected to him. Antichrist cannot have the apocalypse unveiling to the world without him already being here, already operative in the world. If we go back to the book of Daniel, you'll read about the little horn, that prior to his visible global revelation, he is involved in political leadership. He is involved in conquest. He is involved in a rise to power and an eventual apocalypse to the world. I'm going to tell you right now that my opinion is that the Antichrist has already been born. Maybe 30 years ago. 20, 30, or more years ago. That the spirit of Antichrist and the rise of the satanic sequence, a spiritual evolutionary development, evidenced by the rise of the New Age movement, the largest spiritual alternative Antichrist system ever in 2,000 years. The unbelievable rise in Satanism and in the ramping up of the dark side. The swelling of that spiritual side, operating as the secret power of lawlessness. Please understand 2 Thessalonians very clearly, chapter 2. There is going to be apocalypse, anthropos anamos, a dramatic unveiling of the man of lawlessness, this one little horn, this antichrist, this beast. But he's got to be 30 years old, you know, or 40 years old, or 50 years old, which literally means that he will be operative, bent on conquest, having the given authority, temporal and temporary authority that he has, the white horse, the rider represents, listen very carefully, he has a crown, a Stephanos, that is not the same thing as the diadema of Revelation 19. And he rode out, notice the evolutionary concept, he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. In the development of the Antichrist, even prior to his visible revelation, there is a spiritual conquest going on. This matches the words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel 24. When asked about the end of days, Jesus began with, "Don't let anyone deceive you." He began with a revelation of the unprecedented spiritual deception that will be going on before all hell does break loose. It begins with counterfeit spirituality, false antichrists, and the system that is infecting politics, that is infecting military, that is infecting the world, that is building. A system that is antichrist, anti-God, a critical mass, the white horse. In my opinion, has been unleashed, if we're thinking in terms of the birth, development of the Antichrist system, all the way up to eventually his apocalypse and his work in the end of days. The Antichrist represents what comes prior to his visible revelation of the world and all of the dramatic, cataclysmic, destructive events we see in the rest of Revelation. My dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar. Take a deep read, a deep study of these infallible events that God has revealed. Listen, we'll see you tomorrow night, Tuesday night. God bless and good night.